The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
This world, that's Satan, that's Lucifer, that's the great dragon. He has all kinds of names. But we know what he is. We know him by his character, and his character is to steal from us, to try to kill us, and try to destroy everything that God has for us. But here's what Jesus said. In spite of the fact that we have this great enemy who wants to steal, who wants to kill, who wants to destroy, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Ooh, man, that is good stuff. Abundance. And it means more than enough. It means overflowing. It means having everything that you need in this life. But I want you to understand this. As the people of God, it does not come without a lackluster desire for the things of God. It comes with, absolutely, but it comes with a price. And that price is obedience Amen. To Christ.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Brenda, it's time for you.
For thus saith the Lord God Almighty, who has all power, all authority. Those who seek me, those who know me, fear not. I shall hide you like honey in the cliff of the rock, and no harm shall come to you. Fear not.
Glory.
Woo.
Hallelujah. Short and sweet, no pun intended. But right there, perfect. God's word. God speaking to his people. Do not fear. But he has resources. You know, the honey is a resource. It's nourishment. He has resources for his people. Yes, I'm telling you, things do not look good in this world. But we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are just temporary. Many of you, now, and I'm not saying this in a condemning way. I'm trying to encourage you. Many of you have been looking at the natural things. And some of them may seem very positive. But you're looking at the natural things, and God is trying to get your attention to look at the supernatural things. Because this natural world, I don't care, you know, how good it may appear, is nothing compared to the power that God has for your life. Abundance that he wants you to live in. Abundance in your relationships. Abundance in your relationship with him first. You know, that vertical relationship. We got to get that right. It has to be the first and foremost thing in our life. Then all these other relationships, these vertical ones, will fall into place. And I'm talking about your marriage relationships. I'm talking about your children relationships. I'm talking about relationships with others, workplace relationships. Everywhere you go, those things will fall into place when you get things right with God. Now, I'm not telling you it's going to be easy. I'm not telling you that you won't have conflict. But I'm telling you you'll have the wisdom to deal with that conflict. That's the power of God. He has promised us. Abundance and abundant living. We talked about a three-phase system. The baptisms. That's the first connect. That's the way we get completely connected to God. We get we receive Christ by the Holy Spirit. We get water baptized, which we saw this morning, how wonderful that was. Amen. Glory. Once again, those who were baptized this morning, will you please stand up? Yeah. Give them. Yes. Hallelujah. This is a celebration. We celebrate the living God and we celebrate their life. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you, Lord.
Obedience to Christ. They were obedient to do what the Word of God says. We talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how it infuses you with power. That is the last phase in that three-phase system. And it's probably, well, I can't say it's the most important. It's just important. It's just as important as salvation. It's just as important as baptism. I know there's a lot of people out there would say, well, that's optional. I don't have to receive that. If you want the abundant life, it's not optional.
Yes, sir.
If you want to just muddle through life, yeah, I guess it is optional. But if you truly want the abundant living that Christ promised us, you must be completely and totally connected to the power of God. All right. Hallelujah. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep them, every one of them. He also said in Matthew 7:24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. A wise man who does, who hears and does. Now, excuse me, the flip side of that is, if you hear and you don't do them. Now listen, this is scriptural. It's not my words. It's what the Bible says. You're a fool. Because it was the fool who didn't build his house on the rock. Look, making Christ your personal Savior is important. I don't want to diminish that at all. But that's not the end of it. You got to have all these other things. Get plugged in. Get completely empowered. And then begin to live by the Word of God. Seek Him. It's the Word that is a light unto our path. It's the Word that is a lamp unto our feet. David said it because of the Word, he wouldn't stray from God. The great King David. It always has been, and it always will be, the Word of God that keeps us on the straight and narrow path. When we begin to stray, it's because we're not in the Word. When I begin to stray, it's because I'm not in the Word. When I begin to get depressed, I begin to get look at the circumstances rather than look at the power of God. When I begin to look at things that I shouldn't be looking at, it's because I'm not in the Word of God like I should be. And you know, the reality is I'm probably in the Word more than most people in here. Just because of my position as pastor. You know, I have to be in the Word to bring you a Word. However, I can't just live on my studying to feed you.
That's right. That's right.
I have to live on the Word of God.
That's right.
I have to be just as obedient to the Word of God and read the Word of God for my life-sustaining abilities as everybody else in here. I have to be sustained by the Word of God. Therefore, just reading and studying the Word of God for a message is not enough. I have to read and study the Word of God so that it infuses me with life. When you begin to wane in your power, it's because you're not in the Word. And hearing it, you know, it's wonderful that you're here on Sunday morning. If you're not, that makes it even more difficult for you to live. Because you do hear Word when you come here. It's one thing that I make sure that I do, that when I preach a message on Sunday morning, it's not just my thoughts. It's not just something that I could say, well, I got it, this revelation. No, it's the Word of God. And I share it with you so that it will instill in you the ability to be able to go back out there every day, every week, and be the children of the living God. Tapping into the abundance of Jesus. All right. Glory. I want to talk about stewardship. Now when some people hear stewardship, the first thing they hear is money. Now I'm not ashamed to say that being a good steward means that you understand handling money.
That's right.
And you do it properly.
That's right.
Not ashamed to say that at all. And I'm not ashamed to say that being a good steward means that you understand tithing, giving God the 10% that He demands. It's not optional. Many people will tell you, well, it's just that was Old Testament. No, you can back it up, and I will. I'm not going to do it today, but when I start talking about tithing, I'm going to back up everything I say with the Word of God. It's a New Testament principle for God's people because it rebukes the devourer. It's such good stuff.
Oh, that's good.
Giving, you know, yes, absolutely. Money is such an important part, but it's more than that. It's being willing to give up yourself. Get yourself out of the way and begin to walk in the will of God. Begin to look at God as your provider. Begin to understand that God is the one that is speaking to you to draw closer to Him. All right. A steward is a manager, basically. One who has been entrusted with managing someone else's resources. And according to the Word of God, we are not owners of anything. I don't own my wife, and she lets me know that regularly. Amen. That's right. I don't own my children. Sometimes I think I do. Sometimes I wish that they thought I did. You know? I don't own anything that actually I call mine. I have to come to grips with that. We all do. Because do not be surprised when you have something that you think is so important to you that you cannot live without, that God will require you to get that out of your life.
Amen.
Now, if it's a spouse, He doesn't require you to get them out of your life. Let me make sure that I get that. We understand that, okay? However, He will lead you in such a direction that you will begin to understand that that person is important, but they should not take the place of God
Amen.
In your life.
And
you'll learn that, and we can. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." We are servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, and he's talking about stewards, it is required in a steward that he be found faithful. And that's what the Word of God is teaching us, that as stewards, we must be found faithful. Faithful in handling everything that God has given us. In Genesis, in chapter 37, it's the story of Joseph, the great dreamer. Now, we're not going to turn there, but I'm just going to make reference to it because it's an important story for us in stewardship. Because what happened was Joseph had always been a steward. He was a steward over his father's estate. And he tried to do his best. Now, there was some character flaws in Stuart and Joseph. There's absolutely no doubt about it. His brothers hated him, and the way he acted, I probably would have hated him too. Got to tell you, I just want you to understand that. However, they felt that he was the favorite of their father, and they're probably right. He was. You know, there were some things going on there that shouldn't have been going on in that family dynamics. However, God's hand was still on the man because the man was faithful to God. Not because he was perfect. We need to establish that. God is not going to be on your side because you're a perfect individual. God's not going to be on your side because you're doing everything right. No, God is on your side because you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you desire to serve Him with all your heart, soul, and mind. So when we get those things in order. But in Joseph's life, we see that he was sold into slavery. He went down into Egypt. He became a servant of Potiphar, a very prominent and powerful man in Egypt. He became his servant, and he rose to a position in that household. It was called a steward. And the reason he did that was because Potiphar believed he could trust him. He proved himself to be trustworthy. God is looking for people who will prove themselves to be trustworthy so that he can impart his blessings on their life today, in this place, right now. I want to make sure everybody's clear about that. I'm not talking about tomorrow or the next day or sometime down the road. I'm talking about now. He's looking for faithful people so he can impart his blessings into their life. It has nothing to do with our salvation. Your salvation comes by Jesus and the blood of Jesus, what he shed on the cross for your sins. It's not about that. I'm talking about the impartation of God's blessings in your life. They come with stipulations. So Joseph rose to that position, and here's what happened. Of course, we know that the story, Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, and because he was faithful to God, he said no. But here's what he said. He said, "Nothing in this house has been held from me." In other words, he was in a very powerful position. He could use anything that belonged to his master as he pleased. Everything in this house has been given to me except you, except his wife is what he was saying. So there are certain things that are off limits, right? Amen. God has imparted to us his blessings in this life. And he expects us to handle them and use everything that he has given us as a steward. Not as an owner, but as a steward. But we can enjoy them, right? But remember, there are some things that are off limits. There are some, and you know those things that are off limits in your life. And, you know, there are some things that are off limits for everybody. Yes, Potiphar's wife was off limits. He would have been off limits for anybody. Okay? But there are some things that are off limits in your life that are not off limits in somebody else's life. And that's why we got to be very careful of how we judge one another. You know, some people can handle this thing over here, and God has told you not to.
That's right. That's
good. Amen?
That's good.
No. I don't want you to think that I'm a liberal preacher and said that, you know, what's good for one is not necessarily good for the other and all. There are standards in the kingdom of God. You know, and we're going to live according to those standards. And I'm going to preach those standards. You know, adultery is wrong. Yes, absolutely. I do not condone it, but I know our God is a forgiving God, and he puts people back. He restores them. He's a God of restoration. If a person truly repents and comes before the living God, he restores them. Amen. Homosexuality is wrong. It's biblically wrong. I don't hate that homosexual. I want them to see what the Bible says, because someday they're going to stand before a living God. Yeah. And they're going to be judged. So it's our responsibility to say, listen, we love you. And this is what the Word says, that God hates homosexuality. He doesn't hate you. He loves you. He don't want you to be caught in that sin. And forgive me, I'm not pointing at anybody in particular here. I'm just pointing around. Hallelujah. So, you know, standards that we know are real and that are godly. So one of the first things I want to look at as I've been preaching this morning is that everything belongs to God. That's the first thing. In Psalms chapter 50, it says this, verse 10. You can look up the rest of that scripture because it's very good. It says this, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills." Some Bible scholars that I read, commentaries on this, they believe that the actual rendering was not that the so much the emphasis on the 1,000 hills, but the cattle, all hundreds of thousands of cattle are all God's. Of course, we know that the hills are God's. He created everything. The cattle are God's. That's where we need to put our emphasis, is recognizing that everything, absolutely everything that our living God has created or allowed to be created by man is still his. In Psalms chapter 24, verse 1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein." The Apostle Paul makes reference to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 26. He's talking about the freedom we have in Christ. He makes reference to that very scripture. All the fullness, all the world, and all those who dwell in are God's. Everything belongs. Deuteronomy 10, 12. "Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that is in it." Is that clear? The earth and all that is in it. Very, very clear. Okay, so we recognize that. So I guess the question is, if God owns everything and God is in control, why do we have such turmoil in this world? Why are there wars and rumors of wars? Why are people going without? Why is there poverty, such poverty? Why is there famines that are taking place all over the world? Why are these things happening? Well, you know, the natural understanding of this when we begin to study the Word of God is that we recognize that God, yes, God created it all, and yes, God owns it all. However, God delegated His authority to mankind. We've studied that in Genesis. You know, in the very beginning, he told them, he said, "Be fruitful, be multiply, replenish the earth, take dominion." That's the dominion mandate. And he gave that to a perfect individual, Adam and his wife Eve. He gave it to them, and he said, "Now you go out and take dominion of this earth." These were people that were spiritually right with God. And then they made a huge mistake. They turned it all over. They turned their authority over to the enemy. But here's what I want you to understand. Even though that happened, God was still working in the earth. He still established a people group, Israel, the Jewish people, to be a light to the world. And through that people group, He brought the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. And when Jesus, the Word of God makes it very clear, that when Jesus died on the cross, shed His blood, went into hell, and came back, He came back victorious over the enemy. He took the keys of the kingdom back, the keys of this world back from the enemy. And in the process of that, here's the great thing, in the process of all that happening, all His people following, just before Jesus left, He said this: "All authority has been given to me." All authority. All authority. Now, we know that when He walked on the face of this earth, He cast out devils, He healed the sick, whatever He said, He cursed a fig tree and it died. Whatever He said came to pass. And He said, "All authority has been given to me. You go." This is basically what He's saying. This is my paraphrase, of course. But he was saying, "Now you go in that same authority in my name and subdue the world, take dominion, build the kingdom." Power that is released into God's people. And we've gotten comfortable with church. We've gotten comfortable with coming on Sunday morning, sitting in soft pews, heat, air conditioning, plenty of lighting, all kinds of wonderful worship. Hallelujah. The best in the land. Glory. Good stuff. Hearing the Word of God, we've gotten comfortable with just going through the motions. While the world is dying all around us. But I want to tell you, today that can change for every one of us. Today we can once again make a wholehearted commitment to serving God and doing exactly what He told us to do. And for some of you, it's going to be painful. But I want you to know this, it will be worth it. absolutely worth it. Everything belongs to our living God. We must release everything to God. Matthew 10. Let's look at Matthew chapter 10. This is the second point this morning. I need to move along. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Now, Jesus is not talking, per se, about, you know, giving up your physical life by being killed. I mean, that can be a part of it. Believe me. I believe that there are martyrs in the kingdom of God. But he's not talking about giving up that physical life. He's talking about giving up your life, whatever it is that you want, more than God. He's talking about getting that relationship in order with the living God. Sometimes that seems like a huge sacrifice. If you've been there, if you've experienced that, you know what I'm talking about. But it releases the power of God in your life. Many years ago, when I was first became a believer, God spoke to me about giving up a lot of things. And, you know, there was things that I gave up my life, that habits and different things in my life that I gave up. But I want to tell you, there was something in my life that I didn't want to give up. And God was constantly speaking to me to give up. Now, it may not seem like a big deal to you, but as I reflect back on it, I see why. I couldn't be doing the things that I'm doing if I continued doing that. It was something very simple. It was playing softball. I loved to play softball. I went to tournaments on the weekend, and my wife hated it that I would do it. Yeah, because I was consumed with playing softball. Correct? Yes. Now, here's something that God began to show me. I started looking around at these guys that I played softball with. And what I noticed was that most of them had beer guts that stuck out about like this, where they were drinking beer all the time. Most of them were not married any longer because softball became more important to them. And their family and their life was falling apart. Now God, he just, you know, simply said to me, you don't have to make a choice. Is that what you want? Or do you want my best for your life? And I got to tell you, it was not an easy decision for me because I'm telling you, I loved playing softball. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I was good at it. I got fulfillment by doing it. But it wasn't God's will for my life. It wasn't a horrible sin. You know, you think, well, God just, you know, when I first started telling you this, you think, well, Pastor Rob had to give up pornography. I bet that's what it was. Or... No. It was something really simple when you think about it, but it was necessary for me to move on to the next level with God, because it would have been impossible for me to do the things that God called me to do and continue to hold on to that thing that I thought I loved. And I released it. And in the releasing, I want you to understand this, in the releasing it, it brought great blessing into my life. He blessed me with more responsibility. He blessed me with more financial blessings. He blessed me with a closer relationship with my wife. He blessed me. Overall, my whole life was blessed. Now this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about this morning. I believe truly that, you know, it can be something that simple that God is speaking to you. Let me back up what I'm telling you. Mark chapter 10. This is so good. If you just catch hold of this. Matthew chapter 10. Or Mark chapter 10, I'm sorry. Verse 23. Then Jesus, Matthew chapter 10, verse 23. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God." It's not, now listen, you gotta understand, Jesus is not talking about it's evil to have anything. It's not evil to have possessions. It's not evil to have riches. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about riches having you, it becoming your God. And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Now, he set the stage here. He's talking about worldly possessions, and he's saying you cannot allow these things to control your life. And now, listen to what takes place, the dialogue that takes place with him and his disciples. "And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, 'Who then can be saved?' But Jesus looked at them and said, 'When with men it is impossible, but with God, for with God all things are possible.' Then Peter began to say to him," now listen to what he says, "'See, we have left all and followed you.' Jesus answered and said, 'Surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive a hundredfold.'" A hundredfold. Now, many times we kind of read over this. Receive a hundredfold in the next life. Yeah, okay, God, that's good. We'll take it. That'll be good. I'll give up so I can receive. Listen, that's pie in the sky and the sweet by and by. Listen to what he says. "Who shall not receive a hundredfold in this time? Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come, eternal life." He's talking about having blessings here in this life. Now listen, make sure you understand. He doesn't say, well, you're going to get all the blessings and it's just going to be a wonderful life and we're all going to float through life so comfortably and wonderfully. No problems. That's not what he says. He says these things are going to come, but there's going to be persecution along with it. It's going to be tough. But listen to me. If you do not commit everything to God, it's going to be tough. Either way, it's going to be tough. And I'd rather have a tough time with God on my side than to have a wonderful, easy life and not have God on my side. But that's not even the issue. It's still going to be tough, no matter what. Abundant living, abundant life is what we are promised here and now. Now, the third thing I want to talk about this morning is that God rewards faithful stewards. So we just read that. Jesus said, "I'm going to reward you here, now, in this time." in Matthew chapter 25 is the parable of the talents. I'm going to move on with this. I'm not going to go to it and read it. But the parable of the talents, of course, we know that the master gave talents to three men. He gave five, two, and one. And he gave it to them depending on their ability to handle those talents. So the guy that got one talent, God didn't overwhelm him. He didn't try to give him more than he could handle. This guy got exactly what he could handle. The man that got five, it was because he could handle. It was based on his ability. Now, talents, you need to understand, talents are not what we're thinking, spiritual talents or natural talents. That's not. This was money. It was a weight system, a talent was, and it became known as connected with a day's wages. A denarii was a day's wages. And a talent equaled about 6,000 denarii. So we're talking about a good sum of money here that was imparted to these men. And each one of them took it and were to handle it as a steward of the master. God has expectations of you. He will not give you more than you can handle. He'll not try to get you to do more than you can handle. However, I can tell you this, you can do more through the Spirit of God than you believe you can. And you can handle more through the Spirit of God than you believe you can. Amen? In 1 Kings chapter 17, the great prophet Elijah goes to a widow after a famine. And God speaks to him and he says, I've prepared a widow to provide for you. This widow was preparing her last morsel of meal. Preparing to fix it, however she did that, prepare it for her and her son. And then she was prepared to die. The prophet comes to her after God spoke to the prophet. Now listen, as you read this, I want you to go to it and read it sometime. It says, God specifically said, I've prepared a woman. I've spoken to her to provide for you. So even though she didn't know exactly what was going to happen, she knew that God was speaking to her heart about something. She was prepared for that. And when the prophet came to her and he said, I'm hungry. And she said, I don't have anything but this last little morsel of cakes and oil. And the prophet said, go fix it for me. I want to bring this home to where we are today because it happens in our lives. God prepares us. We don't know exactly what it is that he's going to require, but he's been speaking to your heart. To do something or give something up. And when the prophet said, I want you to bake those cakes for me, it rang true in her heart. And she still had a decision to make. But you notice she didn't question him. She didn't say, at first she said, this is for me and my son. We're going to fix it. We're going to eat. And we're going to die. But the prophet said, no, you go make those cakes for me and you will have provision for as long as you need it. She had to trust God. Today, you have to trust God. You have to trust the living God. Because I believe that God is speaking to the hearts of many people in here this morning. He's telling you, you've been on the wrong track. And I've been trying to get your attention. I've been trying to get you back on the right track. And today, I'm speaking to through this crazy pastor that's standing up here trying to get you to hear and understand the Word of God. Today, I'm speaking a word into your life that there are things that you need to get straightened out so that you can walk in the abundance that I have for you. God has spoken to me to give things away in the past, cars and and, you know, money. Sometimes it was things that I didn't have. Really, I mean, I had them in my possession, but I felt like I can't give this up. You know, this money is set aside. I set this money aside for a special reason. God said, give it away. One time, I know you've all heard this story, or most of you have. But one time, I was seeking God. Tammy and I, we were preparing the group home so that we could have the teenagers there to the group home. For those of you who don't know, we operated a Christian group home for several years. God opened the door for us to be able to do that. But in the process of getting that ready, we were working on this house, 6,000 square foot home that needed to be completely remodeled. In the process of doing that, we were just, you know, trying to do what God wanted us to do, trying to hear from our living God, and seeking His face. And I got to tell you that, you know, sometimes I get something and I see a pair of shoes or some kind of clothing or something. I like that, and I'm going to get it. So I saw a pair of shoes that a guy had one day, and I started searching around to find those shoes. I liked those shoes. They were great. Those are wonderful shoes. Now, nobody else, you know, I don't care whether anybody else liked them or not. I liked them. I liked those shoes. So I searched and I searched and I searched, and I found the shoes that were the exact shoe that I saw, and I liked those things. So I bought those shoes. And I was proud of those shoes. Somebody's ever been proud of something you have? Come on. Don't lie to me. Tell me the truth. You're proud of things, and it's okay to have pride in something as long as it's not in the essence of you're a proud individual, so proud that God doesn't matter. You know, we're talking about when we take pride in something, taking it, making it a serious thing in our life, that, you know, we're going to take care of it, and we believe God provided it for us, and we're going to handle it properly. So it's a part of being a good steward. So anyhow, got those shoes. I like those shoes. We were in a church service, and first during that service, some guys came that we didn't know. They came into the service, and they had an opportunity to share, and they came up front, and they were talking about the ministry that God had placed them in and the things that they were doing, and I was just looking at those guys and checking them out, and they seemed to be pretty well dressed and had their act together. It looked like they were doing pretty well, and they were asking us to help support the ministry that they were involved in, and I was just willing to do whatever, and God was speaking to me, and I was looking at these guys thinking, you know, God, you know, I want to help out, I'll give whatever you want me to give, God spoke to my heart, and He said, look at the guy's shoes. I said, no, I don't want to look at his shoes, God. I knew where this was going. Look at his shoes. So I just slowly looked down the guy. You know, his clothes looked good. He had a nice suit on. But when I got to his shoes, they didn't look so good. They were tattered up and torn and So what does God do? He says, give him your shoes. Why? Why do I have to give up my shoes, God? These are my shoes. I looked long and hard to find these shoes, God. Special shoes. Give up the shoes. Give the shoes. Well, you know, of course, like everybody else, I battled with God for a while, but eventually I gave in, I gave up, I gave the shoes, and went up and just presented them to the guy. You know, I didn't give him a chance to say, no, I don't want your shoes or anything. I just said, God said for me to give you these shoes. Took the shoes, gave them to him, and my recollection is that Tammy was sitting down in the car. And when I went out, she said, where have you been? And, of course, I had to tell her the whole story, what was going on. Walked out in my sock feet out of the church. But I want you to understand this. In doing that, you know, those shoes were, they're just a material thing. And even though they were very important to me, here's what happened in that whole thing. Because, you know, we were on track to try to establish a ministry that we were going to minister to these teenagers. I truly believe that my obedience to give up those shoes opened the door for that ministry to become successful.
Amen.
The blessings of God was poured out upon us.
Amen.
That's the way God works in our hearts.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
And he doesn't want your shoes. He didn't want my shoes.
Yeah.
He wanted my obedience.
Yes,
that's right.
That's what he's looking for from each one of us.
Yes,
he wants our obedience.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. As we worship this morning, if there's anything in your life that you feel like you need to turn over to the living God, do it. You can do it right there. You can come forward and do it. Whatever it is that God speaks to you, listen to him and do it. Let's stand. Hi, this is Pastor Rob Barber. Thanks for listening to our message today. We're excited about what God's doing here at Bethel Worship Center and in the body of Christ at large in 2012. If you'd like to learn more about the ministries here at Bethel, please visit our website at www.bethelwc.org. God bless you and have a great day.